Hey, how you doing out there? Time for American Radio. We're doing pretty fine in here. It's about a minute after 5 p.m. I think it is because my phone is dead, but it sounds about right. And it's time for American Radio. I'm Tom Ryan. With me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. And we are going to be with you for the next hour, if that's all right. We've been looking at albums, of course, for quite a while now. The alternative top 40, the top 500 of the top 40, those are the two lists. 500 here, 500 there, that's 1,000 albums that we're going to be discussing. So it's kind of fun to pick my favorite of 500 albums. But 500 times 2, that is, which is 1,000. So we've reached about 1977, exactly 1977, just recently. And it's been this is a crazy year now. This 76, you could tell that there was something in the air as far as things changing, but this is when it happened. This is when things really began to change. And you will know, if you listened last week and you compare last week to this week, the dichotomy is obvious. Last week, we played Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. California band playing what I would consider to be very, very like traditional, really, really well constructed pop music. And I mentioned then that the scene in California was drastically different from what was beginning to foment in New York. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because the band we're going to cover is a band called Television. And their debut album, which was entitled Marquee Moon, came out in February of 1977. Incredibly strange that it did not chart in its time. It was more popular in Europe than it was in America, which is really strange. But either way, the record like was signifying something pretty obvious. As 1977 began, somebody hit the reset button. Nobody knows exactly who did it or even where. But all over the Western world, the music scene seemed to change suddenly and dramatically. For alternative music, 1977 was year zero. It was like every major musical scene erupted simultaneously. Albums previously seen as anomalies in 1976 came to be embraced by some as a means to challenge the mainstream. Debut albums by the Ramones and Patti Smith were dismissed when they were released. We covered both of them a few months back. And in many cases were outright scorned by mainstream media. But a significant segment of the population found inspiration in the directness of their message. This music was not elitist, like you could say that about the Eagles or Fleetwood Mac. You didn't need to be a technical wizard to play it. You didn't need a graduate's degree to appreciate it. Well, mainstream music continually aimed over the heads of their target audience. This new style aimed straight for the torso. Just like Mitch Miller and Columbia Records did way back in the 1950s, the generation of anti-establishment hippies had grown old enough to erect a new establishment of their own, and they wanted to stick with what they knew. This blunt fashion and energy, though, of the new style directly challenged everything that came before it, including the hippie ethos of pastoral love and brotherhood. The new sound was loud, urban, primal, and rude. Somebody coined the term punk rock, and it stuck. Suddenly, the culture of previous generations were rendered obsolete. New bands shunned the accepted commercial norm, and vice versa. The ultimate irony came when the hippies entrenched themselves and grew conservative, unable to accept punk in any shape or form. Commercial radio wouldn't play it, and even the charts skewed ratings to disenfranchise the punk bands. By definition, then, a nearly universal alternative culture formed, centered in capital cities, from London, England, to Sydney, Australia, and of course, New York City. In New York, the downtown scene, which was previously represented by Max's Kansas City and the Velvet Underground, had moved south to the Bowery. Tom Verlaine, who was television's primary songwriter and vocalist, convinced club owner Hilly Crystal that his venue would be better suited for punk rock than country, bluegrass, and blues, which is what the CBGB was for. And almost overnight, a trend became a scene. CBGB's was almost like a foster parent to the punks, taking in bands that were rejected elsewhere. And the scene grew exponentially. But if you lived outside of New York City, it would have been very easy to miss the relevance of what was happening. Discerning fans had to seek out information on the band and the scene at CBGB's through fan magazines and music reviews. It was television, which then, at that time, featuring Richard Hell as their lead vocalist, who inspired Malcolm McLaren to return to England and form the Sex Pistols. It all started right with this record, really. It was this band that basically convinced Malcolm McLaren to do what he did. So in some ways, Marquee Moon is really, if you listen to it with open mind, it's almost conventional guitar-based rock music that seems unlikely to have caused such a backlash. If you hear it with an open mind, rock fans might have recognized that Marquee Moon contained some of the best dual guitar work since the Allman Brothers, but those fans were set in their ways. And they weren't going to listen to a guy like Tom Verlaine, because Verlaine became the lead singer, and his voice betrayed his lack of blues influence. He had a timbre that almost resembled Patti Smith's way of singing, so fans of rock music would turn away from what he was doing, which was a shame because television was a perfect introduction to punk rock, specifically because they did not lean heavily on that safety pin and torn t-shirt style that was introduced by Richard Hell. After he left the band, the rest of the band didn't follow that trend that Richard Hell had begun. Verlaine didn't rely on volume, screams, or confrontation for impact. The songs were thoughtful and original, with little or no reliance on blues formula, exoticism, or excess production. In that sense, Marquee Moon was a post-punk album even before punk, and it had expressly, properly established itself. Although most critics raved about it here in America and in England, praising the album for its fresh, exciting, and innovative classic that it was, and it has lasted with that opinion now for a full 50 years. The album really failed to sell in America, like I said, but became something of a surprise hit in Great Britain, where punk had been sensationalized by the press. Almost instantly, a new alternative underground scene had been born. So let's see what it sounded like for this change that sort of like split a segment of the nation away from the regular music scene and eventually ended up creating a whole new scene altogether, making everything that came before it somewhat irrelevant to some extent. Side one, the opening track on the album Marquee Moon, is this one entitled See No Evil.
I'm
I hate to say it, but I think that one of the best things that happened to television is when Richard Hell decided to leave and go out on his own, because this put the focus on Richard Lloyd and Tom Verlaine and their guitar work. And it gave Tom Verlaine the chance to be the solo vocalist. Now, his voice is not, I wouldn't say a predictably awesome voice, but it's incredibly interesting. And there's this beautiful energy about what they're going on about. But I can't talk about it too much because these songs are pretty long. So let's just keep going and play the next track, one of my favorites on the album. It's called Venus. This band knew what they were doing, and just about every single way. These songs were tight and arranged. They had a lot of these songs ready back in 1974. In fact, they were even recorded by Brian Eno, but Tom Verlaine in particular didn't like it. He's like, it sounds like too stiff, too vacant. He wanted to give it a warmer sound, and they ended up recording and almost ended up being signed to Arista Records with Clive Davis, who was, and because they went in and they did some tracks, and Verlaine was like, this is what I really want. This is much better. I got assigned to somebody who's going to let me produce my own record. And Electra was almost willing to do that. They said, okay, we'll let you produce, but we want you to come in with somebody who's well-known. And so he chose Andy Johns, who did a lot of recording with the Rolling Stones, and he had a lot of respect for him. And it was a fantastic combination. There is no other musician on this album except for the four members of Television. No guest people doing overdubs, no horn section, no strings or superstar coming in to provide some background. It's just the four members. Billy Ficca on drums, Fred Smith on bass guitar, and Richard Lloyd and Tom Verlaine dueling it out on guitar on almost every song. One more song on side one. Actually, we could play two back-to-back because the fourth one is a monster. We will be back for about 15 minutes if we do this, but we'll play Friction, and I'll let that blend right into Marquee Moon, the title song of the album, which is just about 10 minutes long because it's awesome.
But not let up. It's just a little bit back from the main road, where the silence spreads and a mended holds. I start to spin the tail. You complain of my addiction. We'll be right back.
dating. Yeah.
You might find this hard to believe, but that song was recorded live in the studio. They didn't even ask Andy Johns to start the tape recorder. He figured it was just a rough take or something. But luckily, he liked to record everything. And when it was done, the band played it back and they said, that's it. We're done. Amazing. That's what was punk about them. That was really the only thing about them that was punk, is that they would do stuff live. And because this is not your standard punk, high energy, chord driven, 2.5 minute song stuff. This is post-punk before punk even happened. Okay, we'll flip the record. We've got 4 more songs to go, and I really want to get them all in. So we'll open up this next set with Elevation, and we'll segue it into Guiding Light. We'll be right back.
yesterday.
This is all too good. I need to mention, by the way, Fred Smith sadly passed away just this year, a few months back on February of 2026. It's a shame. He was an incredible musician and obviously a fabulous bass player, just providing the support exactly that these guitar players needed. So we'll basically give this up to Fred Smith for the rest of the show. Two songs left. We'll play the song Prove It and Torn Curtain. Lucky for you, I didn't get to talk too much because the album's too good. So I'll see you next week, or join us on Friday for Pink Floyd. See you then.
Docks, the clock, a whisper woke him up. Would resume. Gave ways of light, the unreal night, flat curvy of a room. It gets funny. Prove it. This is a fact. Confidential. confidential. Case is closed. When you